Well, as we turn to God's Word together this morning, we actually have a guest preacher that I would like to introduce. Reggie Johnson is coming to us from Christ Central Church to preach God's Word to us this morning. Now, many of you may be familiar with Christ Central because we have helped his church in the past and partnered with his church in various ways in the past, and so we just thought this was a great opportunity to let Reggie come and preach for us this morning. And so he's going to be delivering God's Word to us this morning. So welcome, Reggie. We're so glad to have you here. Yeah. He will be preaching to us from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Again, Mark 1, 40 to 45. Again, we're in a series now about the reason why Jesus came to earth, the reason why we celebrate Christmas, and what Reggie wants to preach to us about this morning is how Jesus came to heal. So allow me to read God's Word to us from Mark 1, 40 to 45, and then Reggie will come up and preach God's Word for us. So Mark 1, beginning in verse 40. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is God's Word.
Good morning, Providence.
Good morning.
I just want to say I want to bring you greetings from Christ Central Church. We are so thankful for your partnership in the gospel. Our church is warm this morning, largely in part of your generous giving. So truly, thank you. Thank you so much for your gifts and your continued prayers, and even the pastors who really loved on me in a tough time. Sometimes it can be challenging in ministry, and especially starting out a new work. It's good to have brothers that will walk shoulder to shoulder with you, that you can just pick up your phone and they're there to give a listening ear and encourage you in the scripture. So I just want to thank you guys. I'm here with my wife, Courtney. We've been married for 17 years. We have three not so little ones anymore. Usually what I always ask when I start at our church is typically, "Are you ready to work?
Yes.
Are you ready to dig into the text?"
Yes.
Yeah, so if you have a copy of God's Word, I want to ask you to open it up, turn it on, and meet me in Mark chapter 1. And we're going to kind of slowly walk through verses 40 through 45. And so just to, as you're turning there, I want to set our time, guide our time this morning with just helping with a kind of thought experiment first and foremost. So I want you to think about a moment where you felt dirty or unclean. For many of us around the room, I know for kids, sometimes they like to put on those muck boots. If it's rain and it's dirt, they'll jump in it. And so they can recall those moments pretty readily. But for some in the room, it might be that ketchup stain as you're at a Buccos game, right? Maybe it's a coffee spill before it's a crucial meeting at work, or maybe it's a stain on a dress or a shirt before picture day at school. But regardless of us thinking through those moments, all of us can think about a moment where we've been dirty or unclean. I think about a moment with my grandparents. My grandmother, she would always have family over. She was leaning on a railing one time, and she broke the rail, fell into this mud pit. And then as my grandfather reached to help her, he's, "Dorothy, Dorothy, Dorothy, can I help you?" And she grabs him and she pulls him on in as well. And so we all can remember these moments of feeling dirty and recall those things vividly. But I want us to think about a question today as we look at Mark 1, verses 40-45. Is being dirty and unclean, on the outside, it's really an easy fix, right? But what is the fix for those who feel dirty and unclean on the inside? That's what we want to spend our time thinking about this morning as we turn our attention to Mark chapter 1. And so the big idea, or the sermon in a sentence, if you take notes, is this. I want you to say, only Jesus can make you fully clean. All right. So that's where we're going to try to drive this home today. But we often struggle to bring our struggles to Jesus, don't we? But here we have a passage that really is meant to encourage the believer and even the outsider that's not a believer yet. And so what we will encounter as we look at Mark chapter 1 is two men. It's early on in Jesus' ministry, and we'll encounter two men who are untouchable in their own rights. And so this is the breakdown if you follow along. So we're going to look at a scandalous request, verse 40. A scandalous response, verse 41 through 42. A simple request that Jesus gives to this man, verse 43 and 44. And lastly, we'll finish off with a simple response. And so before we begin, let me pray for our time in the Word. Father, we want to thank you for your Word. We ask that you would sanctify us by your Word, for your Word is truth. Father, we ask right now that you would just minimize distractions. Father, that you affix our gaze and our attention upon you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Father, we are looking to a passage where you help, where you heal, where you cleanse. But Father, I pray that we will all walk out with a deeper sense of urgency that you are not sitting in the heavens with your arms crossed, but with your arms stretched out wide. And Father, I pray that we will readily bring our sin to you in light of this text. For Father, you are the only one who can cleanse us and forgive us from unrighteousness. Father, we love you. We thank you. What we know not, please teach us. What we are not, please make us. We ask these things in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. God's people said,
amen.
All right, so y'all are with it. Praise God. I like it. All right, so we're going to look at a scandalous request right there in verse 40. We'll kind of walk through it verse by verse. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, the previous verses really shows us, what does it look like to spend a day in the life of Jesus, right? He is preaching, he is healing, crowds are gathering, he's casting out demonic spirits. And we see the fame begin to spread about Jesus in verse 28, verse 32 through 33. He cast out this demon. And then by verse 37, we find Simon Peter saying, everybody's looking for you. People are looking for you. So his fame is rising, and here we pick up in verse 40. And as we come to verse 40, we find the man that a man is looking for him. We're not told what this man's name is. However, we are told about this man's nature. And so I want us to zero in on this man's condition first, and then we're going to look at the conversation and how that plays out. And so in the NIV, it says, a man with leprosy. That's what we're given, right? And that can be lost on us. So let's look at this condition that he has. We're told that he has leprosy, and leprosy is a skin disease that in the ancient world, it was typically deemed as incurable. No amount of money, no specific doctors, no incantations could heal you from this disease. Today, if you want to research it more, is what we might call Hansen's disease. But leprosy affected not only the person's skin, but their nervous system, their respiratory tract, their eyes, their bones, and much more. Think this disease was consuming. It deteriorated the body, and there was no cure in sight. It also brought its kind of social alienation with it, as people would be cut off, as we'll see as we look at Leviticus, some passages there. And there was really no kind of end in sight for this. The idea of living with leprosy was one of the closest things that one might say was closer than experiencing death. It was close to experiencing death. And it was not just painful personally, but it's also painful socially. Now, according to the Mosaic law and the ceremonial laws, a person who had this sickness, they couldn't dwell with God's people, Israel, right? Because it meant that that person was unclean. And God's people, by definition, is supposed to be what? Clean, not unclean. All right. Numbers 5 in the book Genesis. All right. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. All right. Y'all track it with me. So, but in Numbers, there's a disease that if you were unclean, laws would say that person had to be outside of the camp. They couldn't be inside of the camp because they would further contaminate other folks, right? So in this disease, we get a picture of sin and sin severity. So like leprosy, sin is an infectious disease that affects the whole person, the entire, not just the exterior. The world spends its time helping you think through the exterior, little to no time thinking about the interior. And sin, like leprosy, causes us to live outside of relationship with God and outside of relationship of God's people. Listen to what J.C. Ryle says on this specific verse. He says, like leprosy, sin is incurable by any earthly physician. And it is slowly but surely dragging us down to a second death. And worst of all, than leprosy, far worse than leprosy, it is a disease from which no mortal is exempt. Which is to say, our sin makes us unclean. It renders us all unclean. If you have sin, you are what the Bible calls unclean. And this is the very person who's kneeling before Jesus. The one easing his way to Jesus is this very person. He is an outsider. He is unclean. And he's on his knees and he's begging for Jesus to heal him. And as he inches, we looked at the condition. Now let's look at the conversation. End of verse 40. Kneeling, this man says to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, something that might not catch your eye is this is not the way it should have played out. The Bible is really clear about these laws and how things should have been orchestrated. So Leviticus 13, verse 45 says this. It gives clear instructions on how this should play out. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let his hair of his head hang loose. That's trendy for today, but it wasn't trendy back then. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has this disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling should be, again, outside of the camp, not with God's people and not with God. Leviticus 15 doubles down, double clicks on it. It says, you must keep Israelites separate from things that make them unclean, so they will not die in their uncleanliness for defiling my dwelling place. Now, this is a scandalous scene, whether you know it or not. And this man just comes to Jesus because he's, I'm sure, hearing all the stories of his fame spreading and how he's healing people in Galilee. But he doesn't cry out, "Unclean, unclean." But rather he says, if you can, make me clean. I just imagine somebody outside of a camp, outside of the walls where there's safety, protection, and community and fellowship. And maybe through a crack in a wall, he sees people leaping with joy who didn't used to leap with joy. I think about maybe he's watching an opening in a gate and sees a home where there's rejoicing because somebody has been made well. And surely this news would have traveled even to this man on the outskirts, longing for connection, longing for community, longing to be made clean. Maybe today you're sitting in the room and you can relate to this leper. Maybe you feel overlooked. Maybe you feel outside of the camp of God and outside of the camp and fellowship of God's people. Maybe you feel like life is seemingly passing you by. But this is why, like, we have texts like this. They are meant to encourage us and so that we would enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. Maybe you feel like life has rendered you an outcast, an outsider, because of circumstances you can't change. And as you scroll through your social feed and media dominates our world, maybe you're struggling with what life should be and what life truly is. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling like an outsider or an outcast because trauma or some past history has made you feel unclean because of what somebody has done to you or because of what has been done to someone that you love. But Mark would say, good theology can come from even a leper, right? And this leper chances it all because he hears and he knows that something is going on. Whether you resonate with one or with all, Mark is begging us to see the condition of this leper physically is just like our condition with sin spiritually. This man knows, left to himself, he is a walking picture of death. Friends, in us without Christ, we are a walking picture of death. And yet Jesus is the only one who can make this man clean. And so, do you believe that this morning? Do you run to Jesus like that? Do you kneel before Jesus? Do you pray to Jesus? Is that your first resort? When you have a need to come to him with that need. We talk about and we talk to everybody about what's going on in our lives. But the question is, do we talk to the person who can actually do something about it? And that's God himself. So now notice we're going to look at a scandalous response in verse 41 and 42. So look there, put your eyes there in verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be cleaned. Praise the Lord for that. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. How surprising is that exchange? Jewish custom would say, and we've looked at Leviticus already, Numbers 5, that no one should greet a leper. No one should even touch a leper. Some rabbis, you could find them basically boasting in the fact that they threw rocks just to keep lepers away from them. It was supposed to be at least a 6 feet distance from a leper and one of the people of God. And yet this rabbi is different. Jesus does not condemn the man, but he shows the man compassion. This leper who's made in the image of God matters to God. Friend, we can all say we matter to God. Hearing these words, hearing this sermon means you matter to God. God has a purpose and a plan for you. If you've ever wondered if you've mattered to God, just read the Bible. know that the same hands that reaches out and touches this man will go to some lengths and stretch out his arms and receive us all, that those of us who will repent and trust him by faith. This rabbi named Jesus stretches out his hand and he touches this man. Now, there has to be a lot of fear for his disciples. I'm sure his disciples are like, what is going to happen? This should not happen. I know they're going crazy, pulling out the hair. And the crowds, I'm sure, are thinking, this dude is going to be unclean. But here we are at an impasse, right? This is an unprecedented moment. But all of us, we can think about a moment, a similar moment, can't we? So back when there was 2020, if you remember, there was something called COVID-19. Y'all remember that? You remember the fear? And then it was like full-blown panic. So December 2019, many people were fearful. January 20th, first confirmed case. People started getting worried. March 26, 2020, we became the country hardest hit by the pandemic, with 81,000 confirmed infections, but more than 1,000 deaths. We can recall moments where we're in this panic mode. What's going to happen, right? And this is what the disciples are, I'm sure, fearing. And it's almost as if Jesus is saying, shift your fear. Stop fearing things that shouldn't be feared, right? The disciples and the crowds needed not to be fearful of the leper touching Jesus. But this is where it reverses. Rather, they should have been more fearful of what would happen to this leper and him touching Jesus. This particular day, that disease met its match. Jesus is not only saying he's willing, but he says, be clean. And the man is clean. Now, this sermon just keeps getting better. Look, verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Something miraculous and glorious happened. Jesus touched a man who is unclean, and Jesus was not unclean, but the man was made clean. I mean, that'll preach it itself. Jesus touched a man who was unclean. Jesus didn't get affected. Jesus wasn't unclean, but the man was affected. The man was made clean. And what does this mean for us? What are some truths we can pull from that? We can pull from that Jesus' cleanliness is more contagious than the leper's uncleanliness, right? Jesus' righteousness is the very thing that drives out our unrighteousness. And his grace is actually greater than all of our sin. I'm wondering if this is what Julia Johnston had on her mind when she wrote these words, in grace greater than our sin. In a third stanza, she says, free, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Listen to that refrain. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sin. Friends, our sin is no match for God's marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. It's not even close. Jesus says, be clean, and the leprosy flees. Now let's look at the simple request. Verse 43. And Jesus sternly charged him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for yourself, offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, Jesus sternly charges this man to say nothing because his identity is still veiled. This is early on in Jesus's ministry. And he says, go to the priest for examination. Now, it's moments where the Lord calls us to obedience, and we should always readily obey. But man, Jesus was making it hard for this brother, right? So what does this man do? He sings like a bird. He sings like a canary. When you met Jesus in power, it's hard to keep it to yourself. He is the difference that makes the difference. He is what the world is longing for. He is what the world needs. And so, quickly, I want to honor the time slot. And so, let's look at the simple response in verse 45. But instead, he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. Now, this man was asked to say nothing, but he tells everything. But when we turn that and flip that coin on its head, we are the ones told to tell everything about God. And so often we say very little to nothing about the gospel, about Jesus being the difference that makes a difference. I used to have a professor who would often tell me, he would say, we always pray for opportunities. Stop praying that. The Lord hasn't returned. Opportunities present themselves everywhere. Our church, we're walking through the book of Acts right now, and the thing that we constantly pray for is boldness. Opportunities are everywhere. Coworkers, friends, neighbors, we have a role index of people that we have opportunities to share the gospel with. The question is, will we be bold and share him unapologetically? We all have friends, families, coworkers, classmates, and neighbors who are swimming in a world of filth. The exterior is clean, the inside is unclean. And yet we have the news that will help them be clean. And we hold on to it. May God push us and give us boldness to speak about him and what he's done in our lives. But let's not miss the reversal that's going on here. So as we kind of wrap things up, I want to show you a couple of things. Notice in verse 45, so we start in verse 40. There's an outcast, an outsider, a man with leprosy. So this man comes in, but he could not enter a town. But notice, now Jesus is the one who can't enter a town. It was also, this man was an outsider, reserved to desolate places. Now Jesus is the outsider, reserved for desolate places. The man who was currently, or was unclean, is currently now being treated as clean. He can go to the priest, right? To see and show that he's actually clean. But notice now Jesus is treated as an outsider, and he is the one who's truly clean, but he's the one treated as unclean. And this theme kind of runs all the way through the Bible. When you look at the Old Testament all the way to Revelation 21, 27, and listen to what the words we hear in Revelation 21, but nothing unclean will enter into it, talking about heaven. Nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus was not infected by this man, but the man was infected and was affected by Jesus. Friends, the story of Christianity is about how the rightful king has landed on enemy-occupied territory. C.S. Lewis talks about our world exists, and yet God punches a hole through and does something unimaginable. And what he does is he not only heals our diseases, right? But he heals a broken relationship that's a result of our sin between us and a holy and a righteous God. He's not unclean. You don't read in the Bible where Jesus is sinful. It's he takes on our sin and he gives us, imputes us his righteousness. He becomes like one unclean, although he's the one who's clean. And he's the one who suffers outside of the camp so that you and I who trust Christ by faith can be brought inside the camp and have fellowship with God. Now, at the very outset of our time together, we asked the question, what is the fix for those who feel dirty and unclean on the inside? Well, this text would simply say it's being washed by Jesus. It's being refreshed by him. So if you are not a Christian in the room, if you want to take this back to a neighbor, a friend, or a coworker that is open to dialogue, then take them and put their nose in verse 41 and 42. Encourage them to be clean, but then show them the way to be clean. Again, we said earlier, the world gives so much attention to think about how to be clean on the outside, but gives no attention or directives or instruction on how to be clean on the inside. And how do you do that? You have a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of will, a change of perspective, right? And you trust in the one who's reaching out to you, knowing that his hands was open up to you on the cross. Confess to him your dirt. Confess to him the filth. And watch him cleanse you in areas that you didn't even think possible. If you are a Christian in the room, you should be leaping with joy, right? Because we won't find ourselves in heaven because of our own works, because of what we've done, but what Christ has already done on our behalf. Friends, remember the gospel, right? The world's gospel is man substituted himself for God, but the Christian gospel is God substituting himself for man. So just think about this and let this idea of reversal by way of substitution help you see the Bible. So just think about, how is Lazarus able to come out of the grave? Jesus will go into the grave so that Lazarus can come out of the grave. How does the woman with the issue of blood stop? Because Jesus' blood will be spilled out for her. Now, how is this leper treated as clean? Someone who's actually clean will have to step in and be treated as unclean. It's not just the New Testament, but even the Old Testament is dripping with themes of reversal by way of substitution. Jesus is our covering in the garden. He is our sacrifice for sin. He is the Passover lamb. He is the ram in the thicket. He is the dry ground that we walk on by faith. He is the ship that gives safety and comfort, although we deserve destruction like everybody else. Friends, this Christmas season, if you are believing in the room, a great gift to give to your Lord is your sin. Right? So what are you struggling to bring to Jesus today? Let's learn from this leper. Good theology can come from a leper that put his trust in Jesus. And let's remember the King to which we're coming. One song would say, "Thou art coming to a King. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none could ever ask too much." Let's remember the gospel. Let's learn from this leper. And let's, with boldness, preach Jesus, but also bring our sin, knowing he is the only one who can make those who are unclean, clean. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for just the encouragement, but also the challenge that we find today in Mark chapter 1. Father, I ask right now, and I just confess, Father, that even my heart doesn't always readily run to you. Father, one of the things that an old Hollywood actor would say is that he hopes that everyone gets what they want so they could see how shallow it is. Father, I pray that you would grab us before we get all that we want. Father, that all that we want might be found in you. Father, as we think about gifts, I pray, Father, that you would help us to treasure you above all things. Father, would you help us to run to you whenever we have a need, whether big or small? Father, I pray just for Providence Church and their generosity to us, Father, that you would multiply, that you would maximize their reach, that you would make them a beacon of hope here. Father, that people would get wind of what's going on, like the man in verses 40 through 45. That people will be coming from here, there, and everywhere, knowing that you are the difference that makes a difference. Father, we ask right now that you would just continue to stir in our hearts just a boldness. For Father, we are living in a world that is in desperate need of you, that are doing so much to scrub the outside, but are doing nothing but watching the inside deteriorate. Father, would you help us to see that the gospel as well is not just something we need once in a lifetime, but it's something we need continually and daily, that we need to be trusting in you day by day, moment by moment. Father, we thank you for this time. We look to you. We trust you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. God's people said,
amen. Amen.